This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. By Midwest, well, we're stretched out all over across the Midwest because we are broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence this morning, getting ready for the NHL races that are coming to Kansas next week down in Topeka. So a lot of good stuff. It's the big Menards promotion. You can get discounted tickets, by the way, general admission tickets here at Menards, pit passes as well. And some other fun promotions got going on. Obviously, it's Mother's Day weekend, and a lot of people have Mother's Day sales. So Menards has the one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. Whatever, I mean, you need some nice new patio furniture. You need some. They have some great flowers up front, stuff for the lawn, stuff for the house. You can do it yourself for your mom or do it for your wife. This is not to give her so she can start doing the work. Get all this stuff and build something for her and get something nice for her. So one-stop shopping for Mother's Day at all the area Menards store. So come on out and see us. We have some 810 koozies and some 810 coasters. Charlie Carlin is out here with me having some fun, staring at his phone right now. He couldn't believe it. I had to pass along to him that I said, when did Matt Harvey sign with the Reds? And he said, what? Because I heard it in the ESPN at the top of the hour, and he made his debut for the Reds last night. Four scoreless innings. He was on a pitch count there. Rudy Salazar and Jed Marshall back at the studio today, back at the Rally House Studios. And we've got some good stuff coming up for you. Ahead of that big NHRA race next weekend in Topeka, we have Tony Schumacher, who's going to be on the show in just a few minutes. He is number two in the points right now. Eight Top Fuel championships in his career. And one of the things I want to find out from him, like I guess it's a question you'd ask a Tom Brady or a Joe Montana, which one of your four or five Super Bowls meant the most? What was the most impressive? Which one did you like the most? Which one was the most enjoyable? Well, he has eight championships, so I don't know if he's going to have an easy time figuring out or telling me which one was the best. But he's going to join us here in a few minutes. They get the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals presented by Minties. That's May 18th. So that's coming up this week, next weekend in Topeka. Connor Tian, former KU basketball star, Rockhurst High School graduate, smart guy. He's going to join us at 9:30. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. I'd like to get his opinion on what he thought about, the Morris twins going into the playoffs and one of the Morris twins getting into it with Joel Embiid. You had Jayhawk on Jayhawk crime going on in the playoffs. And we'll get Connor's opinion about that. At 10 o'clock, Matt Verderam is going to join us and talk Chiefs football. We've got the rookie camp is already done. So kind of our general thoughts here going forward, what the league is thinking. Some of the quarterbacks are getting into camp. Some of the rookie quarterbacks are getting into their respective camps, and we'll talk about what that means for some different teams. At 10:20, Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman is going to join us. Nick Collison, former Kansas Jayhawk great, announced his retirement this week from the NBA. And we can talk with Eric Horn about Nick Collison's fantastic career, talk NBA playoffs. And Paul George, what is his future, especially with the knee surgery? Is he going to come back to Oklahoma City? Is he going to move to the L.A. Lakers, which was always rumored last offseason that he would eventually end up with the Lakers? So we can talk about that. And one of the things I pointed out about Nick Collison this week, I posted this on Twitter, all of his accomplishments at KU, the two Final Fours, all the accomplishments in the NBA, playing 15 years, which is amazing with one organization, originally the Seattle Supersonics, but then moved to Oklahoma City, played his whole career for one organization. But don't forget what Nick Collison did for USA basketball, playing on all those U19 teams, U21 teams, and the FIBA championships. He won three gold medals and a silver medal while representing USA basketball, so don't forget about that. Then at 11 o'clock, David Leske, follow him on Twitter, at DB Leske from Baseball Prospectus, writes about the Royals, is going to join us. Boy, last night's game. I don't know if you made it to the finish line. I don't know how many folks made it to the finish line. Because when Cleveland hit the grand slam to take the 9-4 lead, 9-5 lead, I think a lot of us checked out. I'll be honest with you, I checked out. It was kind of on as background noise and you know, that sort of thing, but kind of flipping over and catching some hockey as well. But when Cleveland hit the grand slam, Michael Brantley, part of a 6-run fourth inning, given 9-4 lead, it was awful. Jason Hamill was spiraling basically from the first pitch on. He got hit hard again. His last outing, he got hit for those 3 runs in the first inning and then settled down for the next 5-plus innings. This one, not so much. He was gone in the fourth inning. And the Royals were getting pounded 9-4 by Cleveland. And Cleveland's the first-place team in the American League Central. But Cleveland hasn't been playing well. They've been on a bad stretch lately. Their bullpen has been awful. Andrew Miller had been hurt for the previous couple of weeks. And then the Royals start chipping away, which is what you have to do when you're down by that many runs. Started chipping away against the Cleveland bullpen and also against Trevor Bauer. They get 5 runs off Trevor Bauer, which is always fun to see because he's such a pleasant person to be around. Went to work on the bullpen, and Cleveland also decided, you know what, we're going to kick the ball all over the infield. We're going to drop line drives in the outfield. We're going to give the Royals every chance to work their way back into this game. And that they did. And then with Andrew Miller making his first appearance since returning from the DL, he was greeted by one Salvador Perez, who launched a home run, which proved to be the game winner to give the Royals the 10-9 victory. 2-run shot off Andrew Miller. And Andrew Miller said after the game, you know, look, John Jay got me a little bit on one of those hits. Then I thought I pitched well, and then I made one bad pitch, which is always the case. You made one bad pitch. But Andrew Miller gets the benefit of the doubt because he's been doing this a long time at a very elite level, pitching out of the bullpen. So makes a bad pitch to Salvi, 2-run bomb. Royals hold on. Brad Keller, fantastic out of the bullpen. 3 innings of shutout baseball to get his first major league win. And after the game, he was asked, you could obviously tell they had been celebrating because of the way he looked. They said, what'd the guys do to you? And they said, well, they dragged me into the bathroom. They put baby powder all over me and then poured beer over my head because then it makes a nice cakey, sticky, stinky mess for Brad Keller. So he gets to celebrate his first major league victory. And Brad Keller, for as bad as the bullpen has been this year, Brad Keller's been one of the better pieces of the Royals bullpen. And to get his first major league victory against the division leaders, it's a big deal. And then Kelvin Herrera is automatic. He's been on autopilot since the beginning of the season, and he sits him down 1-2-3 for that 10-9 victory. Some of the other good things about the game: Alcides Escobar. How about driving in 4 runs? He doesn't get on base a lot, doesn't drive in a lot of runs normally, but drove in 4 runs. And after surviving the onslaught and trailing 9-4, he was part of that group that was able to chip away to keep the Royals in the ballgame and eventually take the lead. Lucas Duda, big night for the Royals. How about 3 doubles and driving in a run? So for those of you who are all in on the fire sale that you want to come in July, which Lucas Duda, what's his long-term future in Kansas City? He's going to be traded. You love to see Lucas Duda getting 3 doubles. You like to see him driving a run. John Jay had a couple of RBIs, another player that's likely not to be with the Royals much longer, much past July. I doubt it. Mike Moustakas, also a good night with 3 hits. So if you're going to hand out stars, I guess you would have to say Alcides Escobar, Salvador Perez, Brad Keller. Because when you're on the road, you're down 9-4. The season's not going your way anyway, even though the Royals had a better week and a half stretch. That's a good deal. And that's a confidence builder. And you look, and dare to bring this up, for those of you all in on the fire sales and losing and all that, I'm going to tell you this. The way Cleveland's been playing, the way the American League Central is unfolding, it is not beyond the realm of possibility that a couple of more weeks, 3 or 4 weeks like this, and the Royals are knocking on the door for the division lead. It is absolutely wild what is possible. And it is possible. I mean, we knew the Royals were not as bad as what they were, how they played the first couple of weeks. I mean, the bullpen was awful. They've made moves. They brought up a Jason Adam. They've moved some other pieces out. And they're getting better performances. You cannot keep getting this from Jason Hamill, though, as a starting pitcher. You just can't. You can't be giving up 3 home runs. You can't be out of the game after 3 2/3. Can't happen. His last start, as I said, he was able to rebound after giving up the 3 runs in the first and pitch another 5 2/3 scoreless innings. That did not happen last night. Those kinds of things cannot happen. So if you're in the tanking, if you're in that group, then you like that. Maybe you don't, because Jason Hamill could be a trade piece, so you don't want to see that. But it's within the realm of possibility. Within 3 to 4 weeks, if the Royals keep winning ball games, they're contending for the top of the American League Central, which would be fantastic. It would be a great story. I know you want to get the higher draft position and all that, but I'm all for winning games. Give me the wins. As I said at the top of the show, I was a little bit I was taken aback because I've had a lot of stuff going on with kids games and soccer games and getting ready for a graduation coming up. So some of the top headlines I missed once in a while. I missed Matt Harvey signing with the Reds, somehow escaped my radar screen. But he went to work for the Reds last night, and he pitched okay. 4 innings of one-hit baseball. They beat the Dodgers 6-2. How about the Dodgers? Their season is, speaking of tanking, their season is in the tank, if not close to it. But for Matt Harvey, he said after the game, everybody's saying, hey, we haven't lost since they traded for me. I had to go out there and keep that going for everybody.
Matt Harvey is such a turd.
He is. Look, we were around him. That's Jed Marshall, by the way, back at our Rally House studios. We were around him during the 2015 World Series, and he's generally an unpleasant person.
Yeah, for sure. Rudy on the other side of the glass, just sitting there nodding.
They were talking about him this morning, and basically just how they just, everybody in the Mets organization just basically hated him, pretty much.
It seems that way. He certainly seems like a dislikable man. I've never had the pleasure of covering him, but I know that a lot of people around here certainly said he was a jackass.
Goes out every night. Yeah. They said he's out, like, nights before starts. He's out until, like, 3 in the morning.
Certainly taking his craft very seriously.
What was it? They were on the trip to Los Angeles, what, a week or two ago, and he took off for San Diego to go party?
Sounds about right.
Sometimes you need a swift kick in the ass. And I would guess that Matt Harvey had gotten a few, but never got the message. It never sunk in.
I think it was Jason Smith of Fox Sports Radio, because he's a Mets fan. I think I heard him say this, that the issue was basically New York appointed him a superstar before he ever really did anything. He had a good year, but he didn't really do anything, and they made him into a superstar, and it clearly went to his head.
Right. And you don't see that from Jacob DeGrom. I mean, these guys, the whole list of them were built as, this is going to be the reigning starting rotation for the next 10 to 15 years with Jacob DeGrom and Matt Harvey and Wheeler and everybody that had come up. And now some of them are in the bullpen and some are in the minors. It didn't turn out. Noah Syndergaard, he's a jackass. He's part of that group.
The Mets certainly had the right idea and the right philosophy. The problem is that the Atlanta Braves pitching organization of the 90s is so hard to do. Pitchers get hurt so much more these days. To try and bank on building around 5 guys that are going to be healthy for 10 years is just unrealistic. The Mets should have had the foresight to maybe move some of those guys, but they were also in a position to win. Now, I guess we'll see what happens. This is a lot more Mets baseball than I thought we'd talk, but...
Yeah, I just kind of, I wandered off into that track, and I get that way because just the Matt Harvey thing. I'm like, well, he's pitching for the Reds?
Well, and the Reds are awful, so it's
yes,
pretty fun talking about the Cincinnati Reds also, who I know that Drake has an affinity for.
He needs to be careful, though, because he's not too far from Lexington, and man, Lexington's basically like the New York of the Midwest, the South Midwest, you know, like it's crazy there.
Everybody knows
that. So I just imagine he'll go to Lexington you know all the time, hit up some college parties.
For as big a jackass as Matt Harvey can be, I was kind of thinking about the Royals taking a flyer on him. I mean, it would cost you like Animal House. Want a beer? Don't cost nothing. Basically, cost you nothing. The Mets are going to pick up the basically most of the salary for the rest of the year. That might be an interesting thing. But could you see Dayton Moore signing on to a clubhouse cancer like that?
No.
No. But I thought for about a half a minute when they made the announcement, when the Mets announced that he'd been designated for assignment or whatever it was, for about a half a second I thought, huh, might be interesting.
I heard Soren talking with Jason Stark about that earlier this week and how Soren made the point that he'd like to be the third team because he thinks that Matt Harvey's track record shows that, like you mentioned, maybe he needs a good swift kick in the behind, that he's still going to do the same things more than likely with the Reds. And it's not until everything is taken away that, and he's almost out of baseball, that he realizes, oh, crap, I really need to get my you know, life together. And that's when he'll maybe unlock his full potential. We'll see what he does with the Reds. But he does have good talent. Ever since that World Series year, though, his ERA has gone up pretty steadily. He's not the same pitcher that he was.
No, he can't throw as hard. And I read an interesting story on his collapse. Maybe I think it was Tom Verducci who wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. And he had talked about developing, I think him and his dad helped him develop his power arm where he'd reach all the way back and he's pointing towards second base and then catapults it in. And the Mets have told him, look, your arm has been blown. You can't throw like that anymore. And he didn't want to listen. Nope, I'm going to keep doing it my way. It's my way or the highway, and now he's on the highway to Cincinnati. But they tried to talk to him about making adjustments, and he would not do it. Sent him to the bullpen, didn't like that. Asked him to take a minor league assignment, didn't want to do that. Life comes at you pretty fast, especially if you combine not pitching well and being a horse's rear end. It makes it a lot easier on the team to say, we're done. We're out of here. All right, we are broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. A lot of good stuff going on out here. Your one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. They've got some great flowers. They've got all the patio furniture. You have, if you've never been to a Menards, it's hard to explain how big a Menards is and how vast the selection is, what they have available. In fact, I'm sitting right here in front of the pet section, and they're having a pet supply donation today. If you come by Menards here in Lawrence, you can buy and donate food, treats, shampoo, and cleaning supplies, and this will all go to the Lawrence Humane Society. So that's good stuff. I know a lot of people have pets, and I heard Kevin Keatsman this week talked about how his family lost their family dog this week, and that's a sad thing. We went through that a few years ago with our first dog, and the kids are breaking up about it, and it's not a pleasant experience. We have another dog now, and she's enjoyable. And so, you know, if you're thinking about your pet or think about the pets that don't have homes yet that are at the Humane Society, come by Menards and Lawrence, buy some pet supplies, some food, some shampoo, some treats, food, and just help out the animals at the animal shelter. Also, want to get ahead of this, coming up in a few days, they'll have the Contractor Connection Home Show here at Menards, May 22nd through the 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. And that's one of those deals where they bring in area contractors, whether you're talking about flooring and roofing or home improvement ideas that you have. You can come and meet all the local contractors. You can get some ideas, or you can do some contracting work with them, sign them up, and make a deal with yourselves to do that. We're at Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. We'll be here until noon. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall and Rudy Salazar are back at the Rally House Studios in Kansas City. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar and Jed Marshall are back at the Rally House Studios, while Charlie Carlin and I are out at Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. Real easy to get here, K-10. Then you get off on Haskell and 31st in Michigan. We're right there. You literally cannot miss it. It is so big. Charlie and I were driving over here, and I had on the GPS MapQuest or Google Maps, whatever the heck it is, and the arrows following down the road, and take a left here and take a right here and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I think we're getting close. And Charlie's like, yeah, it's right over there. It's 3 miles long. It's how big Menards looks like. And we're towards the back. We're kind of in the pet food, pet toy section. If you come by today, you can buy some pet food and treats and shampoo and cleaning supplies and make a donation to the Lawrence Humane Society. So please do that. Be nice to the pets. You're nice to your own pet. You're nice to your neighbor's pets. Maybe be nice to the pets who are still looking for a home, so come by and do that. Also, it's your one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. I'm looking around and at all the they have some flowers you can buy for your mom, but you can also plant some flowers. Don't get this and hand it to your mom or your wife and say, here, go put this in the yard. Go do it yourself. Buy it, go out there and surprise her. You know, send her off to lunch with her friends or brunch or something, and then you get the work done and surprise her when she gets home. Or you can get some new patio furniture. It's that kind of weather now. All my neighbors are out on their respective decks and things, and they got barbecue unit. Anything that involves your house is at Menards. I cannot stress that. Anything you can think of. In fact, I was walking down one of the aisles. I'm always amazed by how big things are that you can buy. I thought, well, there's a jug of – there looks like a jug of iced tea there. No. This was citronella refiller oil, whatever it is you put in your big citronella tiki torches and all that. So it's like a 3-gallon jug of it. It's going to last you not only this summer, but for the next couple of summers. So come on out to Menards. We're at the one in Lawrence. We've got some 810 Miller Lite koozies for you. Also some Sports Radio 810 coasters. Charlie Carlin is out here. He'll be more than happy to say hi to you. We're looking to talk with Tony Schumacher here shortly. He's an NHRA Top Fuel driver, and he's going to be in Topeka next weekend at Heartland Park, Topeka, for the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals presented by Minty's. So he's going to be joining us here shortly, and then we'll have Connor Tian, former Kansas basketball star, Rockhurst High School graduate, is going to join us a little bit after that. Then Matt Verderam at 10 o'clock writes about the Kansas City Chiefs, a great follow on Twitter. Good at doing the video breakdowns, so he's going to join us and talk some Chiefs football. At 10:20, Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman will join us. Interesting stuff going on with the Oklahoma City Thunder, not only knocked out of the playoffs, but the retirement of Nick Collison. Paul George is hurt. He's also a free agent. What's going to happen there? Does he stay in Oklahoma City, get a max contract? And we'll talk NBA playoffs. Then at 11 o'clock, David Leske, who writes about the Royals for Baseball Prospectus, will join us, talk about the big come-from-behind win last night. And believe it or not, the Royals are not that far out of first place. So David Leske, I'll have a good laugh about that, and we'll talk about Brad Keller. He's been pitching very well for the Royals, and I'm going to check with Rudy. Rudy, did you just say something about Tony Schumacher there? Okay, so trying to get in touch with Tony Schumacher. Sometimes it's hard when people are traveling, especially drivers. They're in different drag strips and different tracks every weekend. How about are you going out to Kansas Speedway tonight for the night race? I have been to the night race. I'll give you a racing for a couple of minutes here. I have been to the night race at Kansas Speedway. It is phenomenal. Racing under the lights. The race starts while the sun is obviously still up. But to watch a NASCAR race as the sun is setting and then going into the darkness with the lights coming on at Kansas Speedway, it is a thrilling experience. It is fantastic. All the guys out of Kansas Speedway who helped put on the show, it's a fantastic experience. I took my youngest son. He's a big Kyle Busch fan. And when we went, we had rain delays. Now, the rain's supposed to be moving out of here shortly, so it should not affect the race tonight, but we had rain delays, and we were there till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. But my youngest got to see his favorite driver, Kyle Busch, in the M&M's car win at Kansas Speedway. It was just an awesome experience. He loved it. He had a blast. And we got to go down into the pit area or the infield before the race, not actually in the pits, but the infield area before the race. And we're literally walking on the track before the race. And you can, at the right time, don't walk while there's cars driving, obviously. But we got to walk on the track. You know, I just had to specify for insurance purposes that, you know, they do let you on the track during certain times before the race. And we were allowed to go down where the checkerboard is at the finish line. And you can sign your name on there. You can take a picture on there. You can go up and sign your name on the wall. Whatever you want to do, you can sign your name just about anywhere you want to.
Did you sign your name, Brad?
I did sign my name, and my youngest son signed his name. We took pictures. I got some great photographs. I've got him laying down on the track, which is kind of a funny look when considering the cars. At about an hour from that point, we're going to start driving 200 miles an hour over that spot. It was kind of funny. He took pictures up by the wall. And here's the coolest thing. Sometimes you meet, well, a lot of times, if you are around NASCAR, you meet some very cool people. Some very down-to-earth people. And so we were walking along the infield, and we're on the infield grass, and I told my youngest, I said, hey, there's Kyle Busch's pit. His car is over there. They have it roped off, obviously. It was about, you know, about 20 feet away. You could get as close as about 20 or 30 feet. And I said, why don't you stand as close to the rope as you can, and I'll take a picture and try to frame it like you're standing right next to the car. Well, it was so far away that we couldn't really see anything. It didn't look like he was standing by the car. So one of Kyle Busch's pit guys came out, and he's walking around the car, and he's checking the tires. And he has his name on the back of his shirt, and I said, I can't remember what it was, Dave or something. And I said, hey, Dave, hey, just wanted to ask a question. Would you mind coming over and taking a picture with my son? He's a huge Kyle Busch fan. He has the M&M's hat on. He said, yeah, I'll come over and take a picture. I'll come over and take a picture with you. So the guy who's checking the tires, the tire expert, came over, taking pictures. He's got the full fire suit on. It was great. And he comes and looks at my son, and he goes, hey, do you want to go see the car? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And my son was like, dumbfounded. I was like, go see the car. So one of Kyle Busch's pit guys took my son over to see the car and then let him hold up. They've got this temperature gauge and pressure gauge. And so my son is down there working on the car. I mean, not literally. He's not changing lug nuts or anything, but checking the tire temperature, and this guy took 5 or 10 minutes of his time to make sure my son had a good time, and it was just a terrific experience. And that happens all the time at Kansas Speedway. You meet so many good people around NASCAR. It happens all the time. So that was a great story. So we're still waiting to connect up with Tony Schumacher. He's going to be in Topeka next weekend for the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals. If you want discount tickets or pit passes, we have those available today at the Menards in Lawrence, where I am broadcasting live. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Charlie Carlin and I are out here at Menards in Lawrence. Rudy Salazar and Jed Marshall are back at the Rally House Studios in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Menards in Lawrence. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. We have some 810 Miller Lite koozies, some 810 coasters. And they have a lot of great stuff going on here today. The big thing is it's one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. I guarantee if you come to Menards, you are going to find something for your mom or your wife, or if you have sisters who are moms, or whatever it is, whatever you can think of, it's going to be here at Menards. They've got flowers. You can buy some very nice flowers. They have patio furniture for the folks who want to get the barbecues going and get that going and have the neighbors over for Mother's Day or have your family over for Mother's Day. And do this for your mom or your wife or whatnot. Don't just hand them something and say, here, some flowers you can plant. Do it for them. Go plant some nice stuff. Be a good guy. Be a good son. Be a good daughter. Be, you know, whatever it is. Do that for mom Mother's Day. It's going to be a great day. Celebrate Mother's Day tomorrow. Also, they want to let you know about the contractor connection coming up May 22nd through the 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. This is one of the things, when you're at your yard, I did this the other day. It's in the yard, and you kind of notice stuff about your house that needs work. So you can come to the contractor connection on May 22nd through the 24th and meet with some contractors and take care of some stuff you need to take care of around the house. We were waiting for Tony Schumacher, NHRA driver, who's going to be in Topeka next weekend for the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals. We've had a little trouble connecting up with him, so we'll try to get him later in the show. So we're going to go to one of our better favorite guests on the show, Connor Tian, former Kansas basketball star, proud Rockhurst High School graduate. Connor, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I got to see you at the Rockhurst High School auction a couple of weeks ago, raised a lot of money for kids who need financial aid, and I was overwhelmed. I have not been to a Rockhurst High School auction in a long, long time. I am overwhelmed by how much the alumni and current parents and former parents are willing to help out for financial aid for the current students at Rockhurst High School. And just up front, full disclosure, my son's going to be a freshman this fall, and we are benefiting from that financial aid. So for you and everybody else who came out, just couldn't be thankful enough.
Oh, yeah, it was a great event and always fun and great to support a good cause.
And the theme of the auction was it was a nautical theme of sorts, and you were dressed as Captain Obvious, was that right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's what I looked like. I just was in a sailor-type outfit.
good stuff here. All right, a lot of things to talk about with you here. I guess maybe the biggest news concerning the Jayhawks this week, for those who go back, is Nick Collison has decided to retire from the NBA, 15 seasons with the Oklahoma City Thunder, all with one organization, which is great. Of course, two Final Fours with Kansas, and I always point out, you know, he won a lot with USA basketball too back in the day, but I'm sure you've been around Nick Collison over the years. Your thoughts on Nick Collison calling it a career and making it 15 years in the NBA?
Yeah, well, I mean, congrats to him for having such a long career, and I think it really just speaks volumes to what type of teammate he was and competitor as well as a hard-working individual. I mean, every single day he was showing up. There was a couple of times he came in prior to their season and would practice with us, and just an overall great guy, and really, really happy for him, not only for him his next stage of life, but to see him be able to do something that he loved for as long as he did in the NBA.
We're talking with former Kansas Jayhawk Connor Tian. Roy Williams, I guess, came to one of the playoff games to surprise Nick Collison. It was all kept secret by Nick's parents. But Roy Williams said that Nick Collison might be one of the only players he ever had that he never yelled at in practice. I was around Coach Williams for a long time. I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah. he might not have, but if there were somebody he didn't yell at, I would assume it'd be Nick, just because they say he was a great teammate and somebody that just kind of kept his head down and worked hard. And from the conversations I've had with him, nothing but a really nice guy, class act.
There was a funny moment, I guess funny to me, during these NBA playoffs, which happened earlier this week, as the Celtics knocked out the Sixers, which the Sixers were, some of their play dumbfounded me at times, and then I have to remember they are a team loaded with kids. But Joel Embiid, as we know, likes to the Twitter and the Snapchat and the Instagram and likes to poke the bear a little bit, but he was getting into it with Marcus Morris pretty good during one of those games. And Marcus Morris looked at Joel Embiid and put up three fingers saying, hey, we're up 3-0 in the series, buddy. You can stop chirping now. So it was Jayhawk on Jayhawk crime there for that series. I don't know if I'd want to go toe-to-toe with either one of them, honestly.
Yeah, both pretty big boys, and that's a typical behavior from Joel. And, you know, Marcus isn't the type to really back down from anybody. But I know they've got a really good relationship off the court. And obviously Joel being playing for Philadelphia, Marcus being from Philadelphia, I'm pretty sure they link up in the off season sometimes and work out together.
Has it been enjoyable? I don't know how you digest the NBA. Sometimes when players leave college, we kind of lose touch with them a little bit, or maybe don't follow them as closely. But I've gotten back into the NBA over the last few years. My kids are really into the NBA and college basketball. Do you consciously make sure you watch certain games, especially these playoff games with the former Jayhawks in them? Because there's been a lot.
Yeah, no, I try to keep up, especially with the guys that played during the time I was there. And then you see Embiid and Wiggins. Those are guys that are constantly on the highlight reels and on ESPN. But I make sure I check in on the Morris twins, especially check to see how the Wizards did, how the Celtics did. And I know overall career-wise, Marcus Morris has just really developed a lot over his time from his rookie year till now. Really proud of all the things he's done. And both him and Markieff have been really hard workers, but proud to see Marcus going on to that Eastern Conference Finals and really rooting for him. Would love to see Kyrie in the games for the Celtics as well, probably make it a little bit more competitive with the Cavs and probably give him the upper hand, actually, in that series. But really rooting to see them make it to the finals.
I am kind of rooting a little bit for the Celtics as well, and I am stunned at how Brad Stevens has kept that team together after losing Gordon Hayward at the beginning of the season and then, as you mentioned, losing Kyrie. Brad Stevens, when he was at Butler and they were talking about hiring him with the Celtics, I think a lot of people who are quote-unquote experts thought, this guy's going to go from Butler to the Boston Celtics? But you know the college game well. Did Brad Stevens have a reputation inside the college game as being one of the bright up-and-coming basketball minds?
Yeah, and I think you can hear that from the commentary from other NBA coaches and general managers. They're really impressed with his grasp of the X's and O's in the game, and he definitely had that type of talk about him in the college game, but then when he went to the NBA, it continued. And it's always rough to see are interesting to see how people transition into the NBA. That's a pretty rough transition. So for him to be as young as he is and to make that jump from college to professional and not lose a step and then be dealt the cards that he was dealt this year with the Celtics and losing Hayward and Irving. Now, that's a really deep team, and I don't think a lot of people realize that going into the season. And you probably wouldn't have expected Marcus Morris to even be doing as much as he has over the course of the season. But he's been very fortunate that he's got a team that, hey, next man up, do your job, take care of it. But I'm sure that that's the atmosphere that he instills in that organization as well.
Are you listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB? My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas, one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. We're talking with former Kansas Jayhawk Connor Tian. All right, with the Eastern Conference Finals getting started tonight, we saw what LeBron and the Cavs did to the Raptors. They absolutely destroyed a number one seed, and they've had the Raptors number for two or three consecutive seasons now. Does Cleveland have enough left in the tank to destroy another team, or does Boston turn this into a six- or seven-game series and leave it open for either team to take it?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Cavs, it really just comes down to the fact they've got the best player in the world.
Yes. I know that you can't just sign that to another team.
No, you can't. And he is – the way he's been playing with a chip on his shoulder – and if you looked at just the supporting cast, you would think, okay, Celtics probably will take this one. Or just like going into the Toronto series. I mean, they squeak by the Pacers. Nobody would have expected them to sweep the Raptors. I mean, you could have thought they were going to win, but then LeBron just took over. I do think that they're kind of hitting their stride at the right time because they've had so much adversity over the course of the season. But the Celtics, I mean, there's definitely an opportunity for them to take the series. But the way LeBron's been playing, they just got to make sure that they can lock him up defensively. But I think if there's a team that can do it, the Celtics have have got a lot of the right tools in place to defend LeBron. And I know I keep referring to him, but Marcus Morris is a huge part of that. I mean, he's a guy who can body up, be physical with him, wear him down. And then you got some other parts that can do the same. So in terms of matchups, I think the Celtics do have a more favorable one than maybe some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. But with LeBron, that guy has just been a monster lately.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that Pacers series, I thought was better. I thought the first round of the NBA playoffs were great this year. The second round kind of stunk. I flip over to the Western side for you before I let you go here. The Western side, we get Rockets-Warriors, which I think 100% of everybody predicted that would be the matchup. But, you know, the Rockets, it's got to happen some year. And the addition with Chris Paul has made them a much more complete team and has taken some of the pressure off of James Harden to handle the ball as much as he had to in the past. I still don't think in a seven-game series they can get over the Warriors. I think the Warriors take this one.
Yeah, I think the Warriors take it too. I obviously wouldn't be shocked if the Rockets could pull it off, and they are positioned better than they have been in the past, and probably positioned better than most of the teams in the Western Conference have been over the course of the last couple of years. But the Warriors, they just have so much scoring and firepower, and then you got Draymond Green who's got that mentality, that tough mentality. And I was listening to an interview with Steve Kerr yesterday, and they were talking about, hey, which one would you rather be, the Rockets who are looking for that first ring or the Warriors and already having a couple? And he was saying, you know, the first ring is the toughest, and the fact that his guys have already gone through it and they know what it takes to win a championship, you got to give them the competitive advantage on that end. So although the Rockets may be hungry, the Warriors know what it takes to really grind it out and make it to the finals and through a finals to a championship. So I think they've got too much depth. Even though I'll admit I'm rooting, I'd like to see Rockets Celtics. That's kind of what I'm hoping for finals wise.
Something different, right?
I have a feeling I'm not going to get either of those.
We've been on rinse and repeat going on four seasons now if the Warriors and Cavs end up in it again. Hey, Connor Tien, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and it looks like we're going to get this rain out of here and have a beautiful weekend here in Kansas City, and hopefully have a great celebration for Mother's Day tomorrow, all right?
Yeah, well, you have a good one. I'm sure I'll see you around.
All right, thank you. That's Connor Tien, former Kansas Jayhawks, great Rockers High School grad. Seeing so many former Jayhawks in the playoffs. And, Rudy, I know you're an NBA guy like me. Charlie, I believe, is also an NBA guy. So-so is what Charlie says. For several years, when guys would leave either Kansas or Missouri or K-State and go to the NBA, that was kind of the end of it. I never really made a point of making sure I watch a particular game or have more of an interest in this playoff series or that playoff series because there's former local guys on those teams. But as I've gotten back into the NBA over the last couple, three, 4 years, I do find myself doing that. Whereas the Celtics, Marcus Morris, all right? And their series with the Sixers with Joel Embiid. And, with the Washington Wizards with Kelly Oubre, even though it feels like, just feels like he was never really a Jayhawk. He's one of those guys that I never really felt like Kelly Oubre ever wanted to be there or desired to be there.
He's as much a Jayhawk as Andrew Wiggins.
I know. I'm saying the same thing about Andrew Wiggins. It felt like
Oubre loved him. He talked about KU a lot.
It felt like Andrew Wiggins wasn't really in Lawrence all that long, and he didn't want to be there. So.
No, I mean, it's a much deeper conversation. It can go to a lot of different schools. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you're stopping at a place for 6 months, I don't know how much time you really or how much you really would invest in that place. I know that people like to veil the Jayhawk around Joel Embiid, but, I mean, it was the same thing with him. He blew up and saw his opportunity to go pro.
Yeah, and he didn't even play, the second
the
half
last
of the season?
6 weeks of the season. So, I mean, I don't know. It's all based on perception, and now that he's the process and he's all over Twitter and people love him because he's this larger-than-life personality, all of the Jayhawk Nation certainly wants to wrap their arms around that. But I don't know. I think you make an interesting point. One of the Twitter people I follow is Jayhawks in the NBA, and it's always neat seeing the different stat lines. But for as good as or for as many players as Kansas has put into the NBA, not really that many superstars.
No, you're right. Other than
the process. Well,
Paul Pierce. When I covered Paul Pierce towards the end of his time at Kansas, he 3 years at KU. When I covered Paul Pierce, it was kind of the old joke about Michael Jordan and Dean Smith. The only person that could hold Michael Jordan under 30 points in college was Dean Smith, because he would take him out of games. And I kind of had a similar joke for Paul Pierce. The only person who could hold Paul Pierce under 25 points a game was Roy Williams. Because Roy would do like the hockey line change, 5 for 5, subbing guys in and out constantly so they could run and gun the whole game. But Paul Pierce, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, absolutely.
He was unreal. Brad, what do you make of the NBA playoffs? What do you think of these conference finals? Are you excited? Are you disappointed? I know that a lot of people.
Well, I've got to get my energy, and you can answer that as well. I've got to get my energy back up to get back into it, because the first round of the NBA playoffs, fantastic. Awesome. I thought most of the series were pretty compelling, and especially the Pacers-Cavaliers going as deep as it did, and some of the other ones as well. And then this last round, it was business as usual, and it was sweeps and 5-1s, and it just...
The games were closer than the series would...
Their games were close, but the series weren't.
Yeah, so I still found it compelling. I'm really excited for the conference finals. I think the Western Conference final is going to be a blast. And I know last year that the Cavs kind of rolled over the Celtics. I think it'll be a little bit interesting to see this year. Brad Stevens is the best coach in the NBA, hands down, in my opinion. What he's doing with the Celtics is unbelievable. So I think that's compelling. And then, of course, watching LeBron James, who's the best player on the planet. He's doing things I've never seen anyone do on a basketball floor. I literally cannot wait until tomorrow when the basketball playoffs start.
Stevens, in the vote of NBA coaches, not get one vote for NBA Coach of the Year.
Because people don't
understand. Do people not like him?
Maybe. That'd be hard
to
believe.
I saw a thing, too. So unlike when the media votes for it, the coaches only get a vote for one person. So it's not like they vote for three people. It's just only one. So that... A little bit, I guess, makes sense.
Even such, you would think that one guy out of 30 would pick Brad Stevens.
Somebody did pick Doc Rivers, which
Doc
is insane.
Doc Rivers? Are you kidding me? That's
Doc
awful.
Rivers?
That guy should be fired on that alone.
I assume Doc Rivers voted for Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers isn't... I mean, if he did, he's a bigger idiot than I think.
I don't get how Brad Stevens does not get one vote for NBA Coach of the Year, but it's not... Not for me to decide on that stuff. All right, we're just about out of time for this hour. We got Matt Verderam coming up next, talking Chiefs football. We're broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence, one-stop shop for Mother's Day, patio furniture, flowers, all kinds of good stuff. My name is Brad Porter, and we'll be back right after this quick timeout talking Chiefs football.